Okay, so today I'm going to speak about the Diamond Sutra and the Platform Sutra. And as I often do in these talks, I have enough material for about 3 months of lectures, and I don't have that kind of time here. So I will progress as slowly as possible, and please, if anything seems unfamiliar or you want some clarification, please raise your hand and be happy to address that.
我个人一个习性，当我准备一个演讲的时候，我的所准备的一些资料足够我讲三个月。今天的演讲呢，我的时间是45分钟，所以对我来讲是一个挑战。所以在我在讲的时候有什么不太明白的，或有什么好像是过于理论方面的一些内容，如果有什么问题随时请各位举手发言。
Okay, so the Diamond Sutra and the Platform Sutra. The Diamond Sutra has always fascinated me because it's askinga fundamental question of reaching highest perfect enlightenment. And that highest perfect enlightenment is a state where the mind is totally unfettered, where reality is seen in such a way that there's no subject and object, that one is absolutely in tune with whatever is transpiring, not caught up in objects and in the senses, and not impelled by our sense of self.
今天的主题是《金刚经》与《六祖坛经》。《金刚经》所讲的内容主要是关于对这个心做更深入的研讨。这个心，金刚里面所讲的心是不污染、不染浊，而对这个心是对事、对任何事相非常的清楚，而不迷惑。
So right there, in speaking about a sense of self, that could be an entire talk.Right, and what exactly does that mean? Well, I've often thought that for we ordinary sentient beings, in a sense, we don't even know we have a self. We look out at the world, and we look at things, and if it's something seems to be Republican, it seems to be Democrat, it seems to be something that we like or something that we dislike,we just assume that is the way things are. And we're not aware of this, the most fundamental tendency that we're looking to examine in Buddhism, and that's our tendency to be attracted to certain things and to push other things away.
同时金刚经里面也讲到的所谓的这个自我的空性，那讲到自我，对一些一般没有学佛的凡夫，自我来讲是就是一种习性上养成出来的对于各种事物的一种偏好比如说对有的人他偏向于民主党的党纲，或者是偏向于共和党。所以各种对于各种事物的一种喜好或是不喜好，这就是一般凡夫人所定义的所谓的自我。
Now, why would we want to go and do something like that? Why are some things attractive and some things repellent to us? Well, of course, part of it has to do with who we are.And our sort of how we came to be who we are through our early childhood. And of course, if you believe in things in past lives, it has to do with our karmic disposition. So we all have a different take on the world, but what's common to our different take on the world is that we have these fundamental ideas that are operative in our minds, and which until we start to practice, we're totally unaware of, and those ideas these qualities, they're called the three poisons of greed, hatred, and ignorance.
一般人所认为的自我呢，都是从小接触的环境是什么样子，或是父母的教导，或是长大以后进入社会。 然后建立了一些对自我形象的一种认同，就认为说我就是怎么样怎么样的一种人，或者是我就是喜欢什么样怎么样的事，或者是不喜欢什么样子的事物。一般的在没有学佛的凡夫，没有学佛之前的凡夫呢，他们就是照着这样子的一种所谓的自我的一种特质。 这种就是从出生长大以后建立起来的这种自我形象的这种习性和特质，这样子去操作着，从来就不会对这一些自我的这种品质或是喜好或是不喜好做更深入的研讨。那佛法也就是我们今天要讲的。 《金刚经》还有《坛经》里所要提到的，就是说，要我们对这样子的自我的形象做更深入的去探讨。So
early in our lives, we established a sense of self, pretty much in an unaware manner. We're born into a particular family. We have particular parents or no parents. But certainly some kind of environment, some kind of an educational system. And some things seem to feel good to us. Sometimes we're praised. Sometimes we're chastised and we're punished. And we have this sense of an ongoing an identity that we want to protect, an identity that we think is permanent. And is separate from other people. So we're going to orient ourselves in such a way that this idea that we have persists and is nurtured.
而这种从出生、生长、接触环境，还有家庭和社会上的教育所建立起自我的这个形象呢，就根深蒂固。那我们 对事、对人、对世间所接触的一切事情，我们做直觉的反应，也是随着这样子对自我形象还有习性所建立起的所谓的自我运作的。Now
this persistence and this nurturing and this sense of self is really a great idea. I mean, it really is something that is everywhere, and there's really only one problem with it: is it doesn't work. It's not going to last.
这个自我形象呢，所建立出来的呢，就是一种认为是这个是永远存在，是跟别人分开的、不一样的，有独特的存在，永远存在的这种特性。照这样子的一种认知，这样子的一种惯性来操作呢，会产生一个问题，因为。 将就会让我们产生一些烦恼，觉得是这样子运作下去是总是不太对劲的。Now,
how do we know it's not going to last? How do we know this is an illusion? Well, we don't, but we can find out whether or not it is. And we can do that by investigating, by looking and saying, okay, I'm a lawyer, I'm a banker, I'm a doctor, but at this moment, I'm sitting in a lecture, listening or not listening. What's my identity in those circumstances?
为什么我说终究用这样子一种模式来运作到头都是会有问题比如说举个例子有的人会认为哦如果问他说你是谁他会说我是谁然后我是一个律师我是一个医生这个是一个用这种职位的方式来认同他自己的这个自我那如果是这样子的话今天如果这个人这位律师或是医生坐到来到我们禅中心坐在蒲团上听这个演讲在这个当时那又怎么样来认同他自己呢
Well, my identity in these circumstances is become sort of a narrative. We're kind of a collection of one story after another. I mean, we could be that lawyer, that banker. We could be a father or a child. And we could be a citizen of a country, a patriot, a soldier. All of these roles, which I think anyone can instantly recognize, all come with a large story, a real narrative. And we can get caught up in this very easily.
我个人解释是说每一个人都有在不同时间不同空间的现象里面有担任不同的角色比如说一个男士他可能是一位父亲或是一位律师或是一位修行者或是一位哪一个国家的国民种种的这些就是每一个人本身身上都有不同的故事因为不同的故事里面他所担任而在不同的故事里面或是不同时空里面担任不同的角色
So we're caught up and it's something that we can investigate and as we look deeper and deeper well there's sort of two components that are informing us and perhaps it could be reduced to one but it's really our thinking it's information that's coming in from the outside through all of our senses and what our mind does with those with that kind of data that kind of information and as we're very much aware the thoughts in our minds they themselves can be the source of other thoughts. And actually this whole process of one thought attaching to another thought and attaching to another thought and adapting itself as a kind of reality. This is the kind of attachment. This is the source. This is the way that our egos are created and sustained.
而这些不同单在时空里面担任不同角色当中而我们对自我就这样子建立起来就认为说我就是什么样的角色什么样的人我在什么样情况我就做什么样的事种种的就变成一种对这些角色产生了一个很深入的一种执着那因为这样子自我中心也就根深蒂固的产生出来了
So the Buddha was able to see through this whole process he was able to interrupt to stop it to see how it worked and most importantly for us he was able to figure out how to convey this abilityto stop, to halt this false world creation that we normally do, this false ego creation. This was, and this is, the center of the Buddha's teaching.
释迦牟尼佛当初成佛所悟道的其中之一呢，就是众生是如何这个自我中心是怎么建立起来的，而经由这个自我以自我中心而产生出来的种种对众生产生的烦恼还有痛苦，同时呢又悟到怎么样教众生解脱这个自我中心所产生出来的烦恼执着，怎么样去让他们能够经由方法修持方法把这个自我中心消融掉，能够真的得到解脱，得到真的快乐和自由。
So in order to do this, this the Buddhist teaching of course is contained in the sutras, the Dharma, that's the Dharma, and of course all of the teachers, the lineage that has come down right from the Buddha. So, one of the many, many sutras that the Buddha spoke, the Buddha imparted to us, one was the Diamond Sutra. This is one of the earliest sutras in the Mahayana tradition. As many of you may know, there was the earliest teaching of the Buddha, which is sometimes referred to as mainstream Buddhism, Theravadin, sometimes pejoratively Hinayana, which was devoted to self-liberation. One person at a time understanding these truths and extricating themselves, getting themselves out of this mess.
佛透过他觉悟以后教导出来的一些方法呢，就是从经典里面或者是各以前的祖师大德们对佛所说经典的解释，从这里面呢我们可以看到而且学到这个如何消融自我解脱烦恼的各种方法。这个那其中之一这个非常重要的经典其中在早期的重要经典里面呢就是我们今天所要讲的金刚经。金刚经是属于大乘经典的一位里面一个非常重要的经典。那相对的来说大乘大乘就是反过来相对的大乘就是所谓的这个原始佛教。那原始佛教有的时候称为小乘或是南传这些佛法，他们所强调的是自我解脱，所修持的各种方法是针对于怎么样如何解脱自我，跟大乘的教法有点出入。
So in this later teaching that arose, the Mahayana, the perspective shifted, and the sutras start to tell us that this idea of self-liberation, which is really quite wonderful and quite correct, but there's a certain incomplete nature to it because, in getting back to what I was speaking about, the ego itself, who we think we are, well, it's not just that who we think we are, our narrative, our fiction, is false, can be seen through because of its impermanent. Our thoughts are continually changing, and we're not recognizing how we see things as substantial, as we see this desk, as we see ourselves, and that there is what we term emptiness, that that things have a different appearance from different points of view. Because of all of these other aspects that were that the Buddha brought to our attention, we started to see, and the Buddha started to teach us, that we all are interdependent. So not only is there a sort of fiction about who I am and whatever I think I am and whatever I'm attracted to or I'm afraid of, but also what I might think about everyone here, that I look at you as separate people, and almost like cardboard, you know, almost as facades, because especially in an unenlightened state, I'm very caught up in my own perceptions. So this cage that's built around us, this cage that separates us from one from another, this is something that when the Buddha gave his Mahayana teachings, it was this cage of our self-centered ego that he was helping us to unlock.
对于小圣圣者他们的修行修持的方法，自我的解脱，这是也是非常的重要。可是，原始佛教慢慢的发展到大圣佛教的教义，是因为大圣佛教强调的是，不只是自我解脱非常的重要，同时要行菩萨道，也就是说要修持的所有的基本目标，并不是只是要自我解脱，所以这样子的是这样子的一种演变，是很就是也是针对于这个我刚刚所说的，我们一般凡夫对于这种自我中心建立起来的这种针对这个自我中心的消融，自我中心的各种认知的错误认知的一些观念，直接的去做一个正确的这个改正，所以慢慢的这个小圣的修行的这些圣者，慢慢的这个佛法走向了大圣佛法的教义。
So back to greed, hatred, and ignorance. This is this is where we live as unenlightened beings. So greed. I want a lot more money than I have. I want a nice Lamborghini so that I can drive around and impress my friends. And I have this sense, I have this image that I'll get this and I'll get a really good feeling, and that this feeling is going to last forever, which it won't. And by the same token, someone who I'm afraid of or I hate, who's done something to me in a certain way at a certain time, I have taken those feelings and I've embedded them in a cake of ice, in a sense. I've made them very permanent in my mind. But the reality behind what actually happened may be very, very different. And I'm not understanding where this other person came from. I'm not understanding that this person or people or idea, whatever it is I think that I'm afraid of or that has harmed me, this other people want just what I want, which is freedom from suffering and happiness. Go ahead.
刚刚我解释这个就是自我中心建立的主要的这个原因，是建立在三个所谓的我们佛法说的三毒，第一个就是贪，第二个是嗔，第三个是痴。所以现在在对这个三毒做进一步的解释。贪呢，就是一般人看到自己喜欢的东西呢，比如说喜欢的一些跑车，他就想要拥有它，或者不只是拥有一辆两辆就是一直对这个喜欢的东西一直想要拥有。那嗔呢，就是看到自己不喜欢的人事物呢，就想要把它排斥掉，就是尽量的想尽的办法 把它推辞掉，或是人家说一句话自己不喜欢的不喜欢的话就会产生这个就会生气，产生这个嗔念种种的。也就是说，当这个众生接触这些人事物的时候，因为自我中心的梗固，对于周遭的各种环境产生了一些定性的一种反应，产生了经由这个就会产生这样子的一种贪和嗔的一种情绪上的反应。
Okay, so greed and hatred, and I have to just finish up putting in a plug for ignorance, because ignorance is what's behind all of these two things that I mentioned before, greed and hatred, right? Ignorance is the misperception of the world, the not seeing of in impermanence, of emptiness, the not seeing of our essential Buddha nature, which I'll be getting to in a moment.
那最后一个读是痴，痴的解释是说对于事相的真理不了解而有错误的认知，因为错误的认知所以产生的前二毒贪和嗔。
So, in the beginning of the Diamond Sutra, here is the Buddha coming in to the town of Shravasti, begging from house to house, coming back to the Jetana Grove, and sitting down, having his meal, and then arranging his seat and waiting for the bodhisattvas who are in his attendance to speak to him. So, just in that sense, we have the Buddha, a picture in the beginning of the Diamond Sutra, of somebody who is exemplifying, representing, epitomizing thusness. The Buddha just does what the Buddha does. He is 100% fully there, and we're seeing a picture, almost like a photograph, in the sutra of what the Buddha is doing and who the Buddha is.
金刚经开始开始是说佛到去吐蕃，然后吐蕃回来然后坐在大殿上等他的一些弟子问法，这个整个过程就很清楚的只让我们看到佛就是这样子，该做什么事就做什么事，以什么样的时间该做什么他就做什么。
The Buddha in the Jetana Grove, and in attendance are a number ofbhikshus and bhikshunis who have followed the Buddha, who have followed his teaching, who have listened to his lectures, that have used meditative methods, and many of them have attained to great clear states of mind. Many of these bhikshus, and they're referred to, and there are bodhisattvas also in attendance, have actually conquered greed, hatred, and ignorance. They have seen through the illusion of self, and they have achieved this individual liberation.
而在这这大当时这个在座的一些善男子、善女子，还有出家的众生，他们都是佛的大弟子，都已经是断了三毒的得到解脱的这些修行者。
So they've achieved this liberation, yet there's something missing. Subhuti, the disciple of the Buddha's who is most renowned for his understanding of emptiness, approaches the Buddha, and he's asking a question that will help lead him and all the other disciples to the highest perfect wisdom, to ultimate liberation, the liberation that is leading to Buddhahood.
虽然是这么说呢，可是他们还不是一个还没有达到这个完全圆满的这个正地，所以须菩提为大众代表大众请佛说法，那请佛说教他们如何能够证到最上圣的解脱。
So what's left? I mean, you've conquered greed, hatred, and ignorance. You've seen through the ego. What more could be asked? Where can you go from there? So Subhuti asks a question, and he's asking on behalf of what are called noble sons and daughters, those with good karmic roots, those who are ready to practice. And he's asking two things in terms of what should be done. He wants to know how a good noble son or daughter should dwell, ying yuhe zhu, and he wants to know how they should tame, subdue, or control their minds. Yun he shang fu xin. And those are his questions.
那须菩提代表在座的善男子、善女子，还有得道的高僧们问佛，他说：“善男子、善女人发阿耨多罗三藐三菩提心。” 因云何住？云何降伏其心？这个是两个问题，须菩提问佛。All
right, let's drill down into these questions that Subhuti is asking. Well, what does it mean to dwell, to abide? I mean, the Chinese character zhu means to live. Well, first of all, of course, he's not asking about picking up a good deal in real estate. What he's asking about is the most profound sense of to dwell, to abide. It is how you see yourself in the world, how you see the world, what you identify with, how you're oriented. And sometimes this character, Zhu, is translated as attached. It's what is out there that you think is separate, is real, and that you're identifying as some sort of permanent thing. What is this? And you're attaching to it, even though, as we've seen, that act may be a false or an erroneous act.
这里他所说的这个住是因如何住，这个住呢，可以解释就是说，一般众生他接触人事物的时候，他 的那个时候，他那时候心还有他的这个情绪的一些反应，所看到的他所认知的，或者是他所产生执着的，到底是怎么样一个过程？这个是须菩提想要请佛解释清楚这个住 到底是一般众生的这个身心反应到底是怎么样，怎么一回事。
So to abide, to dwell, is about our deepest understanding of what's going on, of where we are, of who we are, of what we ought to do. And the second part of this question, how to control the mind. Sometimes, some translators, it's xin in Chinese, but some translators call it thoughts. It's actually mind. How to tame, control, subdue the mind. Now, of course, in this context, we can ask, well, what is meant by the mind? And that's an interesting question in Buddhism. But at least in this case, we can talk about our thoughts, what's producing our thoughts, and our awareness.
那从这个问题里面呢，又衍生了更深一层的这个问题，就是说众生这个问题就是演变，就是说众生到底可以，每一个众生可以这样子问自己，就是说我到底是从哪里来的，我又是谁呢，我应该我到这个世间到底应该是做什么呢，这一系列的这种演发出来的问题又会不断的就开始产生出来，同时呢对这个心又做更深入的一种探讨。怎么样说呢，就是说我们这个心，我们是如何来降服我们这些千头万绪的这些不可以控制的这些念头，或者是我们这个心是如何能够掌控呢，由我们自己来能够掌控我们这个心呢，就经由这一系列的这些问题，慢慢的就会修行者就会慢慢的去更做深一步的去探讨。
So these thoughts that we're trying to tame, these are what are really giving us a hard time. It's once again how we're literally perceiving the world, what's coming in through our senses, that we are not understanding what happens on the sense level, that we're going through other aspects of the mind. We're perception, labeling things. And then we're having, because of our ego, we're having a sense of volition, of things to do. And then, of course, we have our consciousness, which is containing this sense of ego. So the thoughts, this whole thinking process that's going on is rife with problems. And Subhuti knows that. He knows that that's an issue. So he's asking the Buddha, what do we do about this?
一般的众生呢，是一种惯性对于这个他们的心，一般众生的凡夫的心呢，就是经由这个受就是感官接触外在的环境，产生一些受的这种感觉，然后情绪身心的起了各种反应，对这些反应产生喜欢不喜欢的这些执着，这是一般凡夫身心的一种运作的一种过程，一种惯性。那须菩提圣者他是很清楚的，因为是这样子，所以他代表所有众生问佛，就是说我们一般众生这样子的一种运作怎么样能够降服呢，也就是说我们怎么样能够断掉这样子的一直不能自主的这种身心上的反应呢。
So the Buddha is speaking to a very sophisticated audience. He's not telling them to count their breaths, or he's not giving them a watto or silent illumination. These bhikshus, bhikshunis, bodhisattvas have really tamed their mind in that sense, in what would be something that for most of us is quite an advanced state. But what he's actually imparting to the to his audience is the attitude, is it the deepest understanding. So he's actually addressing in many ways just what Subhuti's asking him of it. Where to dwell? Well, that's going to be the understanding, which I will talk about in just a moment. And the subduing of the mind is by is a recognition of our purpose, because the Buddha is going to talk about saving sentient beings.
这些修行者都是刚刚我提到都是已经断掉三毒而且得解脱的大修行者那须菩提所问的这些问题呢佛并没有给他们一个属习的方法或是一种末照或者华陀的方法来调他们的这些就是烦恼因为这些都是已经断烦恼的大修行者那须菩提所问的佛 这个问题主要就是一种佛法的核心，就是说这个心到底是怎么一回事，而这个心众生的心应该住在什么地方，或者是心应该怎么样调伏。
Okay, so what does the Buddha tell Subhuti? Well, he says it's really a two-part exhortation, a two-part advice, command. First of all, of all manner of sentient beings, and of course in the Diamond Sutra this is listed in detail of womb-born, egg-born, moisture-born, transformation-born, all the types of sentient beings that possibly exist in the universe. It says, of those beings, a bodhisattva makes a vow that all of them, with no remainder, all of them will be brought to liberation by me, by the bodhisattva. And then the rather remarkable statement is that when this is done, when all the sentient beings are saved, the bodhisattva recognizes that not one single sentient being has been brought across, not one single sentient being has been saved. Well, now why is that? Because any bodhisattva who is caught up in the idea of a self, me, my ego, and other people out there, other sentient beings, dogs, cows, insects, or whatever, and a lifespan, meaning not just geographically at the moment who's existing in the universe, but also an idea that, well, whoever I think I am is going to persist in time. I'm going to go from rebirth to rebirth, that there is something here that's reborn. All of those things, all of these things that really are the way that we operate in the world, we are totally caught up in self, others, sentient beings, and lifespans. All of that is an illusion. That is something that a true bodhisattva is not caught up yet. Yet he is saving those beings.
刚刚提到《金刚经》是早期大圣的经典，那大圣经典跟小圣经典的不同点就是大圣所提倡的是菩萨道。那所以今天所讲的这个须菩提发言，他的目的并不是说要怎么样消除烦恼。 因为这些都是已经断烦恼的大事，就是大的修行者，他问的目的就是说，怎么样让一个小圣的圣者能够修持菩萨道？所以他的目的是要请佛讲菩萨道。那其中呢，佛有讲的就是说，今天如有一个菩萨，他发愿要度所有一切的众生，而也要很清楚的知道， 他度众生的当时，他要很清楚的知道，没有一个自我在度众生，也没有众生在被他度。如果一个菩萨的修行者有一个这种我在度众生的这种观念或是有这种态度的话，那他这个佛说就不是一个真的菩萨圣者的一种正确观念。所以今天这个《金刚经》所要它的重点，它主要就是要提倡菩萨道的修行者。
So we're not alone. We are involved in everyone. We are responsible in many ways, right? The Buddha is telling Subhuti that a bodhisattva makes a vow to save, to teach, to help realize all of the things we've been talking about, all of the ways of breaking through illusion. Bodhisattva devotes his or her life to that. There's a deep connection, a deep responsibility, and a deep understanding of who we are and who everyone else is and who they aren't, who, you know, when in terms of like our misperceptions, our solidified ideas of what we're seeing around us.
所以当一位大圣修行者在修行菩萨道的道上要很清楚的知道自己的一个修行者的一个人所担任的一些修行的责任必须要了解对自我的了解，对他人的了解，同时自己所发的愿所修行的目的到底是什么，要非常的清楚。
So now in the rest of the sutra, these themes are continued in different ways, right? The idea of saving sentient beings, of extending oneself out to the rest of the world. Well, that's contained in this idea of charity, of dana. And of course, this is charity meant in a very, very profound way. And the sutra goes out of its way seven times to explain that it's not the kind of charity of giving someone a few bucks. As a matter of fact, the sutra goes into great detail about giving everyone in the universe untold amounts of treasure. And it's comparing that with actually giving someone a teaching, something which will actually help save them.
金刚经里面提到，在很多的地方提到了所谓的如何发愿行善，然后这个怎么样这功德是什么样的行菩萨行善是什么样的善行，功德大过于怎么样的善行，他在有七个地方提到所谓的这个布施是什么样的布施，有怎么样的功德。
So the sutra is continually telling to reach out in many ways, but when something is given, there's no giver, there's no recipient, and there's nothing given. A bodhisattva who is acting in the world is not caught up, not only in this self, other sentient being in a lifespan, but it's not caught up in anything that comes through the senses. So that if you were, just to give a very mundane example, to give some help, it doesn't have to be money, but just some help to a little old lady crossing the street, this idea that this woman is pitiable and that you are very capable and that you have, in helping her, really done something, and you've done something that you should be proud of. This is something that the sutra is helping us cut through that kind of misperception, the ego-based perception.
这个所谓的这个如何修持，如何布施，那如何在布施的过程当中呢，没有把这个自我中心加进去，产生执着，没有认为有一个我在行善事，有一个对方在接受我所布施的一些东西，也没有这个布施的这个这件事情，要这样子的一个正确的态度来行布施，是《金刚经》里面所提倡的。比如说，走在街上看到一位老妇人，她需要人扶持她过马路，那正确的态度就是，就去扶持她过马路，而没有一个说，我做了一个善事，我帮助了一位需要过马路的一个老妇人，也有这个善事这件事情，所以这个是修持菩萨道修持，金刚经里面所说的这个无我相、无人相、无众生相、无寿者相这样子的一个正确态度。
So here we are extending ourselves out, trying to save all sentient beings, giving them an understanding, and not getting attached to what we're doing. Well, what kind of a mind can do that? And this is going right back to Subhuti's original question about how should we dwell, how should we abide, in what should we abide, and how should we tame our minds. And so the Buddha says, this is in chapter 10, and along with that description of saving all sentient beings and not getting caught up in it, this is one of the other very famous quotes from the Diamond Sutra, is that one should abide nowhere. And in so abiding, this mind, and we'll talk about that in a moment, this mind will arise.
刚刚所讲的这一些态度，还有修菩萨道这些菩萨行者的精神，佛对须菩提所提出的问题，刚刚所说的，善男子、善女人发阿耨多罗三藐三菩提心，应云何住？云何降伏其心？ 佛对他的回答是，就是一句话，应无所住而生其心。
So, what is this mind that will arise when one is abiding nowhere, when one is attached to nothing, when one has seen through the normal way that the ego works? Well, that's something. I mean, in a sense, you can label this. You can say it's self nature, it's Buddha mind, and perhaps that's of some help. But it's not all that helpful in really giving us some experience, really understanding practice. So we have to drill down a little bit deeper, and see that the Buddha later in the sutra says that he who seeks me, the Tathagata, in form, or seeks to hear me in sounds, perverted are his ways, for he perceives not the Tathagata. So once again, this is the mind not dwelling anywhere, not attached to any of the senses, not attached to the data, and not making something of the data that comes through the senses, right? Doesn't mean that a bodhisattva is this kind of robot, you know, with no awareness. It's quite the opposite. But this is talking about a mind that is utterly clear, utterly unfettered, unattached, and aware of its connection to in a profound sense to all things.
这个应无所作生其心里面所说的这个心到底是什么心，这个心又是什么样的一个运作呢？这个心就是无助的，没有执着的，没有这个自我中心为基础的，同时对事情世间人事物什么是什么就是什么清清楚楚这样子的一个心。
So this is the goal, a goalless goal, if you will, in the Diamond Sutra of how to abide, how to tame the mind. Now, if we ask us where that leaves us, anyone here, someone practicing, how you can use this, right? In many ways, I think it speaks to us, even if we don't fully understand it. But there's definitely something there. This is how seeds are planted in us. We can hear lines like this, and just have a sense that wow, that's really something. It's worth investigating deeply, but I'm not quite there yet.
当我们听到这样一句话，应无所作生其心，是一个。对一般还没有就是成道的一些修行者，或者是一般凡夫第一次听到这样子的一句话来说，是非常抽象，而不知道去怎么样去跟自己的日常生活连在一起，所以到底。这样子的一句话，怎么样我们能够运用呢？
So some of us are not there yet, and we have to recognize, right? There is this reality. The Tibetans use this term of one taste. It's a reality where there is no distinctions. On one level, of course, the conventional world always exists as we see it, but there's more to it. We see things only as we see it. We don't see other alternatives. From a bodhisattva's point of view, they can look at us and see the situation that we're in, but it's very clear that it's not what it seems to us, and it's not permanent. So, people of so many different capacities and abilities who practice, and this starts to get into this the idea of how we practice, who we are, understanding what our abilities are, and perhaps what we need in our individual cases, what we need in order to understand and embrace and accomplish this kind of practice.
所以一般的众生就是即便是一般的就是佛教徒里面呢每一个人都有不同的根器，那因为不同的根器呢，所以在运用佛法当下呢就有不同的适合自己的一些方法，还有一些观念，所以到底我们应该自我，这个就是最这个每一个修行者的本人呢，应该用什么方法把这个佛在《金刚经》里面所强调的“应无所作生其心”这个这么深的道理，来运用在根据我们。现在当时现在的一种根器还有环境是如何怎么样最适合的运用它呢？
So remember I said that there's something, we hear some of these lines, some of these amazing lines from the Diamond Sutra, which are speaking from the Buddha's point of view, from the deepest understanding that exists. And we can be intrigued, moved by these lines. Now, without getting into the historical idea of like exactly when the Diamond Sutra was written, I'm just taking it from a practice point of view that the Buddha spoke this during his life, some in the 600 or 500 years before the Common Era. Now, more than 1,000 years after the Buddha is speaking, in China, an itinerant woodcutter, a young boy, I don't think his age is not quite quite given, who's lost his father and was in a fairly good state at one point, but now is in a state of poverty. It happens to be delivering firewood and hears this line from the Diamond Sutra: "Abide nowhere, and this mind will arise." Now, amazingly enough, and of course, this woodcutter, this is Huineng, who became the sixth patriarch. This woodcutter, it's not just intrigued, not just getting a little bit of a taste. Huineng actually experiences a moment of awakening in hearing this line.
So, 提到这一句话，应无所住而生其心，在佛说了这个《金刚经》以后的一千年以后，在中国一个小乡下南海，有一位在家众听到了这句话，哎，他当时就开悟了。
Okay, so, all right. So I said that Huineng had experienced a moment of awakening, and I guess that needs some explanation. He had a sense from what the teachings say of seeing what things are like if you don't get tied up in greed, hatred, and ignorance. You see your essential nature. And in the sutra, of course, the Platform Sutra is a fairly long sutra. There are many many references to the Diamond Sutra, and of course, Huineng has a more complete enlightenment after speaking to Hongren, the fifth patriarch.
这位在家中就是后来非常有名的慧能大师。他当时听了这句话以后就开悟了，而接着呢，他就去参访弘忍，这是我们的五祖。那弘忍又接着跟他讲解《金刚经》，而慧能大师又有更深的这个开悟的经验。
So Hongren, I'm sorry, Huineng had this first insight, and Sherfu has sometimes explained an experience of seeing the nature as if you're in a deep well, and you just see a little bit of a patch of sun, the pure sun, unadulterated by your normal perception. And that is the analogous to what Huineng experienced. Now, Sherfu goes on to say that you can certainly have these experiences, but our conditioning, our habitual tendencies, our karmic tendencies are very, very, very strong and influential, so that even with a very true and absolute moment of clarity, it's still easy and likely that one will fall back into the clutches of the three poisons of the greed, hatred, and ignorance.
师父对于这个见性还有开悟的经验， 曾经有做进一步的解释。他解释的是说，当时就是有顿开悟的时候呢，就好像是在一个黑黑的井里面，一下子看到了这个阳光从这个缝隙里面看到了这个很光亮的阳光，那一刹那这样子的一个经验，就是用这样子一个情况来形容，是因为是说有的人虽然有见性的经验或是开悟的经验，可是因为他累生累世所接下来的一些因经由贪嗔痴所接下来的一些习气还是如果不继续的修持的话呢这些习气或是业力还是会障碍到他，还是会让这些修行者起烦恼。
So now I'm speaking about the Platform Sutra, but I don't really feel that I've made a transition away from the Diamond Sutra. As a matter of fact, there are many, many references in the Platform Sutra. Here's one where Huainong says, learned friend, non-abiding either without or within, freedom to come and to go, ability to relinquish the clinging mind and thorough and unimpeded comprehension of self-nature. If put into practice, that's fundamentally the same as what is taught in the Diamond Sutra.
现在讲到这里，好像我并没有做一个这解释的清楚，就是在《坛经》里面对于这个《金刚经》所，就是《坛经》里面提到《金刚经》里面的一些教义。其实《坛经》六祖慧能对这个《金刚经》，在他在开示的时候，这一系列的就是开示里面提到很多的地方都提到《金刚经》的教义，还有修持的态度。
So in invoking the Diamond Sutra, Huainong is connecting his teachings right to the Buddha, and of course the Platform Sutra is I think the only sutra in existence that is acknowledged not to have been spoken directly by the Buddha, and yet is given the title of sutra. And Huainong, the question is, what is there in the Platform Sutra that continues along this path that we've been talking about, this path of not abiding and this path of taming the mind? Is because we need a lot of help, most of us who are not quite there yet, not having reached this ultimate goal. And we have to hear a lot of teachings. We have to hear a lot of teachings again and again, the same teachings, because every time we hear the same teaching, another time it's not the same teaching, because we've changed. Right. So we have to hear lots of things from lots of different angles. And this is what Huainong in the Platform Sutra is going to help us with.
在《坛经》里面，六祖慧能大师，以这个就是对于这个《金刚经》里面所提到的“应无所住而生其心”的这一句话，用各种不同的这种方式解释一个修行者应该具有的态度，还有修持这个安心，这个降伏心，还有心要如何住的这些种种的方法因为我们一般修行佛法的都是凡夫所以我们所接触到的这些障碍也都是比都是我们都会接触到一些各种不同的 障碍，六祖坛经慧能大师这个在坛经里面有教我们针对各种不同的现象，应该要持什么样的态度，用什么样方法来降服我们内心的烦恼。
So the reason that Hui Nong can help us is his audience, even though it's many years ago, 1500 some odd years, is more contemporary or closer to who we are, because the Buddha in the Diamond Sutra is addressing an enlightened group of monks and bodhisattvas. But in the Platform Sutra, Hui Nong is dealing with people who have perverted views, who are not really understanding the teaching. There are people who are saying they sit and they have a little bit of experience and say, oh, I'm fully enlightened. And lots of heterodox things. And there's much in the Platform Sutra where Hui Nong is addressing a lot of these erroneous views and the problems that meditators, because he's speaking not just to monks and nuns. In his audience, there are Confucianists and Taoists and lay people.
还有一点要提到的就是说，当时佛在讲《金刚经》的时候，他的在座的这些弟子都是我们以前说了，前面刚刚提到了，都是已经断了烦恼的大菩萨、大修行者。那六祖慧能在讲《坛经》的大师在讲《坛经》的时候，他的对象跟我们现在就是当时的这些听他讲经的这些众生的这些所经历的这些生活上的一些问题，或是身心上的一些反应，跟我们现在的人是比较相似的。他们所遇到的一些在修行上产生的一些困难，产生的一些障碍跟我们是很相似的。而他那时候在座的这些听众者，有的是修行道家，有的是儒家学者，有各种不同的种种不同身份的众生。所以坛经里面所提到的这些修持方法观念，对我们现在的众生现代社会的众生来讲是蛮契合的。
Okay, so as we're getting close to running out of time, and there's a few more months of things that I could talk about, I want to, as sort of a tantalizing seed, just very briefly go into what Hui Nong presents to us that's helpful, something in his teaching that is more accessible, more graspable than perhaps what we're hearing in the Diamond Sutra. And of course, one of the things that Hui Nong talks about quite a bit in the Platform Sutra, and is suggested, and one could say is absolutely there in the Diamond Sutra, but not stated as such, is this idea of the Buddha within all of us, this Buddha nature. And this is a very, very helpful idea to us. This is something where if we talk about taming the mind, dwelling nowhere, it's really an astounding leap in certain ways, not if properly understood, but at least when we first hear it. And we're not exactly sure where we're leaping to. But with this idea, and which is in the Diamond Sutra, remember, the Buddha talks about perceiving the Tathagata. Now, what could that possibly mean? What does it mean to perceive the Tathagata? Well, it means, it's not, and the Buddha makes this very clear, it doesn't mean seeing the Buddha with his 32 characteristics sitting in the lotus posture with a very peaceful look on his face. That's not what seeing the Tathagata is. Seeing the Tathagata is not necessarily seeing something out there. It's seeing something within, and of course that kind of within doesn't have, as Huainong told us, doesn't have an inside or an outside. And this idea, this truth of seeing one's Buddha nature, is something that is very positive, very comforting, very true, and it's something once again that everyone is invited to investigate, right? You know, just because I say it, just because it's in the sutra, who knows? But in practicing and in devoting yourself to an understanding of yourself in the world, this Buddha nature is something that can be seen, can be achieved, can be lived.
现在时间快要到了，我和准备的东西，只是在表面上提到了一些。那最重要想要跟大家分享的，是《坛经》里面讲的一个非常重要的一个名词，就是佛性。六祖慧能大师在《坛经》里面讲到说，强调的就是这个观点，就是。佛性这个观点就是我们所有的众生都有佛性，那这样子的一种这个说法是一个很鼓舞的一种观念，就是只要所有的众生愿意花时间，愿意下功夫去更深入的去寻找这个，去寻找这个自我已经本身具有的这个佛性到底是什么，一直去照着佛所说的方法去寻找它，总有一天都可以成佛，那都可以有，总有一天都能够见如来，所以这个是非常好的一个讯息，也是一个非常重要的一个观点。
Okay, so I would like to end here with everybody clearly perceiving their Buddha natures, and I'd like to open up if anyone has any questions or would like some clarification or comment, please.
现在还有五分钟，我的演讲就结束在这里。如果大家有什么问题，有什么建议，现在请发言。
I guess. Okay. Well, that was wonderful. I hope everyone is clear. Thank you so much for coming and listening. We'll take this up another time.
感谢大家今天一起分享佛法。